Time to join our Vatican expert, EWTN's Bureau Chief here in Rome, Joan Lewis. Well, welcome back to the show, Joan. This is a special week. Every year in Lent, the Pope takes a rest, in a way, a spiritual rest, shall we call it that way?
Oh, he is so lucky. Some of the best moments of my life were retreats.
Which means that we have a quieter week in the Vatican, which isn't actually true, but...
I was just going to say, where have you been? Because I always look forward to the papal retreat and the Curia, and members of the Curia thinking, oh, things will really calm down, I'll be able to dust my house or whatever. And it's not that way. There are other pieces of news, as we're going to see in a minute, too. Huge exhibits, either in the Vatican or regarding the Vatican, opened this week in Rome, and committees met and bulletins were issued and so forth. But I have to tell you, the Pope is missing gorgeous weather. Not that he strolls in St. Peter's Square, but he does stroll in the Vatican Gardens, you know, and on that rooftop terrace of the Apostolic Palace. Spring has sprung, folks. But his last public appearance was Sunday.
Angelus
time. At the Angelus.
Midday, St. Peter's Square.
Exactly. And, you know, I really liked his remarks. He always talks about, of course, the gospel of the day, and then after the Marian prayer, he may have reflections on another matter. But in the gospel, he talked about Jesus' period in the desert. And I think I'm going to look at this in a new way. Pope said, the desert has different meanings. It can indicate the state of abandonment and loneliness, the place of man's weakness where there's no supports or certainties, and where temptation becomes stronger. But it can also indicate, said Benedict, a place of refuge and shelter, as it was for the people of Israel who escaped from slavery in Egypt. And then, of course, he talked about Jesus remaining in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan. And then Pope Benedict quoted Leo the Great, who said, the Lord willingly suffered the attack of the tempter to defend us with his help and teach us by his example. So
the Pope often quotes from Leo the Great, doesn't he? Particularly,
yeah. Oh, yes.
At Lent or Christmas, maybe.
He has a number of favorites, as we've come to discover in these years. So the next public appearance will... Well, the retreat, of course, you know, always ends Saturday morning, so...
He doesn't miss Sunday, Angelus.
No, exactly. And he did miss, obviously, this week's weekly general audience. But, you know, it's interesting about the retreat because this is an 87-year-old papal tradition. Pius XI started Lenten retreats in the 1920s. The first one was preached in 1925 by two Jesuits, Father Giovanni Oldra and Alessio Magno. And then, I thought this was interesting, in 1929, Pius wrote an encyclical called Mens Nostra, promoting spiritual exercises for the whole church. And he said, of course, he spoke in the papal, then the popes spoke with we. He said, we've deemed it fitting to establish something most excellent, which will, we trust, prove a source of many rare advantages to the Christian people. We are speaking, of course, of the practice of spiritual exercises, which we earnestly hope to see daily extended more widely, not only among the clergy, but also among the multitudes of the Catholic laity. So we're going back a long time, but these exercises have been preached by people from simple friars to cardinals, and it is an African cardinal right now to be preaching to the Holy Father, the second since Benedict has been Pope. Oh, and Benedict himself, in 1983, he was the retreat master for Pope John Paul, and Pope John Paul in 19...
Was a retreat master, too.
Yes.
He was the first foreign retreat master, first non-Italian.
Exactly. 1967, he was then Archbishop of Krakow. So a very interesting story there to these days. They follow a very specific order of prayer and reflections, and I'm sure they're good for the body as well as for the soul.
Meanwhile, the Vatican doesn't shut down.
No, it doesn't. I'm sure some people wish they could, like, you know, have a week of spring break. Well, there was the kind of main piece of news this week, really, was a communique on a meeting, the third meeting, of the Vietnam Holy See Joint Working Group that took place in Hanoi. It was just 2 days, February 27 and 28, chaired by the Vice Minister for Foreign Affairs of Vietnam, and then Monsignor Ettore Balestrero, who's the Vatican's undersecretary for relations with states, and he headed the delegation. And the communique spoke of the atmosphere of cordiality, frankness, and mutual respect. And the Vietnamese delegation, this in a way is very interesting, they emphasized that the state of Vietnam has always implemented and continually improved the policy to respect and ensure freedom of belief and religion for people, and has encouraged the Catholic Church in Vietnam to actively participate in the course of national economic and social development. And, I mean, we do know that there are a number of issues that have to be settled regarding property that once belongs to the church that the state wants and so forth. So I'm sure they're behind the scenes working out all those types of issues. We don't have diplomatic relations with Vietnam, although the Vatican does have a non-resident representative, diplomatic representative, if you will, there. And, of course, the Vatican hopes, and I'm sure Vietnam does too, that someday these will be permanent ties at the level of embassy and nunciature. So those were the big events. And, you know, actually there was kind of an interesting little piece of trivia. I guess it isn't so trivial for the person involved, but on Wednesday, February 29th, Benedict XVI passed John Paul II, and he became the sixth oldest pope in the history of the church. Now,
trust you to note that, Joe.
Huh?
Trust you to note that.
Yes, trivia is my middle name. So he, on that day, Benedict, 84 years, 10 months, 2 weeks, and one day, but as they say, who's counting? And now, this was only done since the year 1400, this count that was done by the creator of a website called Popes and Papacy. And there are very few precise records before that, so that's only 1400. And the interesting thing is those older than the Pope were Innocent the 12th, Pius the 11th, Clement the 10th, Clement the 12th, and Leo the 13th. He was the oldest, and he served as pope till he was 93. And he was elected, interestingly enough, at the same age as Benedict. He was elected at the age of 78. So, stolat, yes, long life. But those are kind of the big things in the Vatican, except really for something, oh my word, I urge all of our listeners to, if you're coming to Rome or somehow, you're listening to us right now in Rome, there are two exhibits in Rome and one in the Vatican, which you really have to see.
And they were inaugurated the same day.
Yes.
Bad timing. Yeah.
Well, the press conference for Verbum Domini, which is in the Braccio di Carlo Magno, just off of St. Peter's Square there, that was the press conference, and it officially opened on Thursday, March 1st. And then the other one, Lux Arcana, which is the subtitle, if you will, Lux in Arcana, the Vatican Secret Archives Unveiled. And that was in Rome's magnificent and very historic, of course, Capitoline Museums. But you can go online even for a lot more information.
And they have a beautiful website.
Oh, both of them do. It's absolutely amazing. So the one in the Vatican is 150 manuscripts, artifacts, and so forth from the Bible, even from times, so Old Testament, before Christ. Amazing, amazing pieces. You just are breathless. And
it's called the Green Collection.
The Green Collection is most of what we see there, but there are from Jewish scholars and museums and so forth that have, and Orthodox Christians that have donated these Bibles. And
it's in the Charlemagne wing,
Charlemagne wing, and it's eight rooms. And you feel like I've forgotten whether it's the first one is like a replica of a Jewish synagogue, if I recall. The second room, I wasn't able to see all of them just for another commitment I had. But the second room, for example, you feel, and if anybody listening has been to the Holy Land and you've been to Qumran, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, you know, right there in the Dead Sea, you go in the second room and, wow, it's like being right there in the cave. And one of the most amazing things I saw was not a manuscript in the sense of like leather or papyrus that was used to write on, but it was a stone about 3 feet long, and I'm guessing, I don't know, 16, 18 inches wide, 87 lines of biblical verse, one of which talks about the Messiah, who I forgot what he dated this to, before Christ. He talked about the Messiah who would come and he would be crucified and he would rise again. And this is, before Christ. So, I mean, this is the kind of thing that takes your breath away. But if you're in Rome or coming to Rome, the Verbum Domini in the Vatican will be here until Divine Mercy Sunday, April 15th. And the other Sunday after Easter, exactly. And then the other Lux in Arcana will be here till about, I think it's the 9th or the middle of September. So you have a little more time of that for anybody obviously coming in the summer. So it was a good week. It was an interesting week, and we know there's always meetings of pontifical councils and documents being prepared. The Pope, of course, is going to Milan for 3 days at the end of May for the family, 7th World Meeting of Families. That's being worked on. His itinerary was announced. So there's always a lot of stuff in the works, mm-hmm. and we can only cover the surface news anyway in this time slot.
Well, thank you very much, Joan.
See you soon.
Well, you were listening there, as always, at this time of week, to Joan Lewis, our Vatican expert and EWTN's bureau chief here in Rome.